بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be upon the noble prophet and his household and the noble companions and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We continue the explanation on the beneficial saying on the book of Tawheed, and we have reached the hadith. We're still in the hadith of Ibn Abbas. The hadith of Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, where he said that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, عُرِضَتْ عَلَيَّ الْأُمَمْ فَرَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ وَمَعَهُ الرَّهْ والنبي ومعه الرجل والرجلان والنبي وليس معه أحد إذ رفع لي سواد عظيم فظننت أنهم أمتي فقيل لي هذا موسى وقومه فنظرت فإذا سواد عظيم فقيل لي هذه أمتك ومعهم 70,000 يدخلون الجنة بغير حساب ولا عذاب ثم نهض فدخل منزله فخاض الناس في أولئك فقال بعضهم فلعلهم الذين صحبوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال بعضهم فلعلهم الذين ولدوا في الإسلام فلم يشركوا بالله شيئا وذكروا أشياء فخرج عليهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأخبروه فقال هم الذين لا يسترقون ولا يكتوون ولا يتطيرون وعلى ربهم يتوكلون فقام عكاشة بن محصن فقال أدعو الله أن يجعلني منهم فقال أنت منهم ثم قام رجل آخر فقال أدعو الله أن يجعلني منهم قال سبقك بها عكاشة. In the hadith of Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all the nations were made to pass before me, and I saw a prophet with a small group with him, and a prophet with two or three people, and a prophet with none. Then there appeared a large group of people which I took to be my nation, my ummah. But I was told that those were of Musa, alayhi salam, and his people. Later a larger group appeared, and I was told that those were my people. Among them were 70,000 who would enter paradise without reckoning or punishment. The Prophet ﷺ then got up and went to his house, and the people went into discussion as to who they might be. So some said, perhaps they are the companions of the Messenger of Allah. Others said, maybe they belong to those who were born in Islam and therefore had never ascribed any partner with Allah. And while they were exchanging their views like this, the Prophet ﷺ came out and was informed about the news. He said, those people are those who don't treat themselves with ruqya. Those people who don't treat themselves with ruqya. And we learned the meaning of ruqya. It's when a person recites part of the Quran, such as, for example, the Fatiha, or makes supplication using words transmitted from authentic hadith upon someone. This is the meaning of ruqya. It is recitation of the Quran for the purpose of healing as a remedy. So the Prophet ﷺ said concerning the description of those who will be admitted to paradise without reckoning and punishment, those people are those who don't treat themselves with ruqya, nor do they believe in bad or good omen, nor do they get themselves branded, meaning cauterized, but they put their trust only in their Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On that, Ukasha bin Mihsan got up and said to the Prophet ﷺ, invoke Allah to make me one of them. He ﷺ said, you are one of them. Then another man got up and said, invoke Allah to make me one of them. He ﷺ said, Ukasha has preceded you. Ukasha has preceded you. Now, we have reached in the discussion the point where the Prophet ﷺ gave the description of these 70,000 who will be admitted to paradise without reckoning, And he said about them, وَلَا يَتَطَيَّرُونَ, nor do they believe in bad or good omen. And يَتَطَيَّرُونَ is taken from الطير, and the infinitive of it is تَطَيَّرَ. وَالطِّيَرَ اسْمُ الْمَصْدَرِ, which means the infinitive noun. وَأَصْلُهُ, the basis for this is التَّشَاؤُمُ بِالطَّيْرِ, having bad omen from birds. However, really, it's more general than this. It is more comprehensive than being limited only to having bad omen from the birds. Rather, it is having bad omen from visible, heard, time or place. The Arabs were known for their tatayyur, for their belief in bad omen, to the degree that if the person from them would intend to do something good, then if he sees a certain bird moving either right or left, depending on what they consider then to be from bad omen, he will immediately be reluctant to do that which he intended to do from good. And some of them, even if they would just listen and hear someone rather, or a certain voice of a certain person coming, they will go into a state of tiara, having a bad omen. Not only that, some of them used to have a bad omen concerning particular months with respect to certain actions. For example, the month of Shawwal, which is the next month after Ramadan, they wouldn't marry during the month of Shawwal. And that's why Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, said, عَقَدَ عَلَيَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي شَوَّال. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, or Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, contracted marriage with me in Shawwal. وَبَنَى بِيَ فِي شَوَّال, and took me to his house as a bride during Shawwal. فَأَيُّكُنَّ كَانَ أَحْظَى عِنْدَهُ, and who among the wife or the wives of Allah's Messenger was dearer to him than I? And some of them used to have bad omen for particular days, or on particular days like the day of Wednesday, or the other month of the year, which is the month of Safar, which comes after the month of Muharram. Safar is the second month of the Islamic calendar. All of these matters were nullified by Sharia because of the harm they inflict on the person intellectually and in behavior. And people should give no consideration to these matters, because this is the true dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith, from their description is that وعلى ربهم يتوكلون, and they depend upon their Lord. So the fact that they don't believe in this or in these types of omens is an indication of their strength of dependence upon their Lord and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these descriptions which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave in this hadith concerning the 70,000 is that restricted in this way, or there are other considerations such that would not prevent people from being admitted to paradise without reckoning or punishment. The Shaykh rahimahullah said that other than these descriptions do not preclude from the admittance to paradise without reckoning and punishment because of the many texts commanding to use remedies and to use medications. And not only that, but also praising some types of medicines like honey, like the black seed. So this has to be taken also into consideration. Now, if someone requests from you that he makes ruqya for you, reciting Quran for the purpose of medication or cure or healing, then if you decline, would you miss perfection in this case? The answer, no, you wouldn't, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not prevent Aisha to make ruqya on him, and he is the most perfect of the creation in terms of dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and having trust in him. And because this hadith really states لا يسترقون, it means they don't seek ruqya. And there is a clear difference between for these things to occur without being requested and for them to be requested. There is a difference between the two states. So now Ukasha bin Mahsun, after hearing this, he stood up and said, Ud'u Allah, O Messenger of Allah, invoke Allah to make me one of them from the 70,000. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Anta minhum, you are one of them. Now the saying of the Prophet ﷺ here, you are one of them, is this by way of inspiration or in revelation through the messenger, meaning the angel entrusted with the wahi, or is it a type of wahi known as iqrar, revelation of attestation, approval? This is possible, meaning all cases are possible. However, the narration that came from Imam al-Bukhari, in it, Ukasha said, Allahumma ij'alhum aw ij'alhu minhum. Rather, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allahumma ij'alhu minhum, O Allah, make him from them, make Ukasha from them. Indicates this statement which came in al-Bukhari. This is information relating dua that the Prophet ﷺ made, invocation. So it indicates that it came by way of invocation with the Prophet ﷺ, according to the narration in Bukhari. Allahumma ij'alhu minhum, O Allah, make him one of them. Then the hadith mentioned that another person stood up. Another man got up and said, Ud'u Allah an yaj'alani minhum. Invoke Allah to make me one of them. So the Prophet ﷺ responded, Sabaqaka biha Ukasha. Ukasha has preceded you. See, the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't want to say no to this person. Rather, he told him, Ukasha has preceded you, meaning with this merit and this virtue, or preceded you with his request. The scholars differed. Why did the Prophet ﷺ responded in this way? It is said that this person who came after Ukasha, requesting the same as Ukasha requested, that he was a hypocrite. So the Messenger ﷺ did not want to confront him in that which he may dislike, in order to incline his heart. On the other hand, it is said that the Prophet ﷺ feared that the door may be opened and people who are not from this quality, from this caliber, may request it. And so he said the statement which became like an example. And this is really closer to be the correct interpretation of why the Prophet ﷺ used such wording. Now, the important issues of this chapter. The important issues of this chapter. In this chapter there are many issues. Number one, معرفة مراتب الناس في التوحيد. Knowing that people with regard to Tawheed are classified into various ranks. This is taken from the statement when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يدخلون الجنة بغير حساب ولا عذاب. They will be admitted to paradise without punishment or reckoning. Then he said, as to their description, هم الذين لا يسترقون, those who don't seek رقية ولا يفتون, nor do they get themselves branded, catalyzed, ولا يتطيرون, nor do they believe in bad or good omen. The second benefit is an understanding the meaning of manifestation of Tawheed. What is the meaning of manifestation of Tawheed? This means to purify Tawheed from shirk. It means the purification of Tawheed from shirk. Third, praising, the praise of Allah upon Ibrahim, over Ibrahim alayhi salam, because Allah praised, or Ibrahim was praised by Allah, for he was not of the mushriks. And this is apparent, this is obvious in the verse cited in this chapter, and this is verse 16, verse 120 from chapter 16. قال الله تعالى: إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يكن من المشركين. بل إبراهيم was an ummah, a leader having all the good righteous qualities, or a nation obedient to Allah, حنيفا, he worships none but Allah, and he was not one of those who were mushriks. There is no doubt that this ayah is cited to praise Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Although the criteria really is focused upon the fact that he was not of the mushriks. And therefore this indicates that anyone who is safe from shirk, then he is a place of praise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worthy of being praised by Allah the Most High. The fourth matter is, Allah praised all those leaders of the close righteous, because they were safe from shirk, and this is clearly stated, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ لَا يُشْرِكُونَ. And those who don't ascribe partners with their Lord. And this verse comes in the context of many other verses, as in Surah Al-Mu'minun in chapter 23, verse 57, 61, قال الله تعالى: إِنَّ الَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. Verily those who live in awe of, for fear of their Lord. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ يُؤْمِنُونَ. And those who join not anyone, and those who believe in the ayat, the proofs, evidences, verses, lessons of their Lord. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ لَا يُشْرِكُونَ. And those who join not anyone in worship as partners with their Lord. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. And those who give that of their charity which they give, and also do other good deeds with their hearts full of fear, because they are sure to return to their Lord for reckoning. أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. It is those who race for the good deeds. وَهُمْ لَهَا سَابِقُونَ. And they are foremost in them. These are the leaders of the awliya, of the close righteous, friends to Allah. They are the leaders. Meaning the close righteous ones are the leaders in fact. This is what the author really intends. The fifth one, keeping away from seeking al-ruqya and catharization is from fulfilling the purity of tawheed. Having it safe from shirk and or all means and ways that lead to shirk. The sixth matter is, the reason behind possessing these qualities is the tawakkul upon Allah, is the dependence, the true dependence upon Allah. The driving force behind these qualities and these characteristics is the true reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The seventh, the profound and deep knowledge of the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who knew well that such level of dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be attained without action. The eighth one, حرصهم على الخير. This shows how keen the companions were in doing good deeds. Mind, the superiority of this ummah, quantitatively and qualitatively, as to the quantitative aspect, is because the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام saw a large group of people, larger than those who were with Musa عليه السلام. As to the qualitative aspect, it is because they have those who, the 70,000, who are qualified with these characteristics and who depend upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the true reliance. The tenth matter is the superiority of the followers of Musa alayhi salam. The eleventh, we learn from this hadith that the nations will be presented before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will parade before him. And in this there are two benefits. First of all, giving comfort to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, when he saw from the prophets those who came followed only by one man or by two, and he saw of the prophets followed by none, and therefore this is a way of comforting the prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, leading him to say, as in Surah Al-Ahqaf 46, verse 9, مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. I am not a new thing amongst the messengers. The second benefit under this matter is making clear the superiority of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and his station and honor, because of the fact that he is the most followed messenger and the best of them all. The 12th matter is every ummah, every nation will be accompanied by its respective prophet. Because the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, رأيت النبي ومعه الرجل والرجلان. I saw the Prophet followed by one and two men. Had it not been distinctive in this way, then the Prophets and their followers will get mixed together, and the followers from the non-followers will not be known. This is indicated by the verse in the Quran in Surah Al-Jathiyah, chapter 45, verse 28, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَرَى كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيَةٍ كُلُّ أُمَّةٍ تُدْعَى إِلَىٰ كِتَابِهَا. And you will see each nation humble to their knees, kneeling. Each nation will be called to its record of deeds. This indicates that each nation will be on alone. The 13th matter, Few people respond to the call of the Prophet. This is another benefit we deduct from this hadith. Few people. And this is clear from the statement of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام when he said, وَالنَّبِيُّ وَمَعَهُ الرَّجُلُ وَالرَّجُلَانِ وَالنَّبِيُّ وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُ أَحَدٍ. And I saw a Prophet with a small group and a Prophet with only one or two men and a Prophet with none. 14th matter. The prophets whom nobody responded to will come alone before Allah. So those who have no followers will come alone. Because the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام in the hadith said, والنبي وليس معه أحد, and the Prophet with none. 15th matter. Is the benefit of this knowledge. The benefit is not to boast because of great numbers. Because this could be misguidance. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-An'am in chapter 6 verse 116, وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَن فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّوكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And if you obey most of those on earth, they will mislead you far away from Allah's path. They follow nothing but conjectures, and they do nothing but lie. So also, one should not feel proud about the numbers, thinking that he will not be defeated or that he is going to be victorious. This could be a cause for humiliation. Because if we contemplate that most of those on earth are misguided, so you shouldn't be boasting concerning your numbers. Nor should you come to conclude that, well, people are on this matter. Look at them, all of them, so many of them on this. So how can I be alone different? So it means if you are on the truth, you don't have to worry. Also, don't feel proud and misled by the numbers who follow you on the truth. So the author here, rahimahullah, his words can be directed in two angles. The first, we should not feel boastful or proud and deceived by the great number of those or large numbers of those destroyed, lest we be destroyed with them. The second, we shouldn't also be deceived by those or by the large number of those who are saved, lest we feel the false pride and in thus we don't give attention to the small number. فَقَدْ تَكُونُ الْقِلَّ خَيْرًا مِنَ الْكَثْرَةِ. Because this small number could be better than the large number. So it comes from two angles. 16 مثل permissibility of using ruqya to treat العين, the evil eye, والحمى, which is the poisonous sting. This is taken from the hadith لا رقيا إلا من عين أو حمى. رقيا is in two situations where it can be used, evil eye and poisonous sting. The 17th matter, the depth of the knowledge of the righteous predecessors. Because in the hadith, he said, he has done well by stopping on what he has heard, but such and such. From this we know that the first part of the hadith does not, or the first hadith cited does not oppose the second. Why? Because the saying that there is no ruqya except from the evil eye or the poisonous stink, this does not at all oppose the second hadith. Why? Where the Prophet ﷺ described them as those who don't seek ruqya and those who don't seek katharization and those who don't believe in omen. Why? Because the first hadith is in ruqya general. The second is in seeking ruqya. So this means if the person, if someone comes to a person to make ruqya on him and he does not prevent him, then this in itself does not oppose the statement in the other hadith, وَلَا يَسْتَرْقُونَ, they don't seek ruqya. Because there are three levels here. The first level, أَنْ يَطْلُبْ مَنْ يُرْقِيهِ, he requests someone to make ruqya on him. This person misses perfection. His perfection is diminished. Second level, not to prevent someone to make ruqya on you. In this case, you don't miss. There is no diminution of perfection here. Why? Because you didn't seek it. You didn't request it. The third level is to prevent someone from making ruqya on you. This is in opposition to the sunnah. Because the Prophet ﷺ did not prevent Aisha from giving him, from making ruqya on him. Similarly, the companions, they didn't prevent anyone to make ruqya on them. Because all of this in this case does not affect, meaning negatively, the reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The 18th matter, the avoidance of the Salaf of praising anyone undeservedly, meaning when they don't deserve to be praised. And this is taken from the first hadith. When Hussein bin Abd al-Rahman was asked by Sa'd bin Jubayr, who among you did see the shooting star last night? Listen to this carefully. I answered, I had seen it. And then explained that I was not at the prayer at the time because I had been stung by a poisonous scorpion. Because why? Because if he had seen the shooting star last night, this entails that he was awake. And the one being awake is either performing the night prayer or busy with something else. Or there is something preventing him from sleeping. So he wanted to shun off any possibility of thinking that he was doing the night prayer. You see that what he said? I was not at the prayer at that time, fearing that they may end up praising him. The 19th matter. The Prophet ﷺ, when he said to Ukasha, you are from them, this is a sign for his prophethood. This is a sign of the prophethood of Muhammad ﷺ. And how is that? Because Ukasha, may Allah be pleased with him, بقي محروسا من الكفر حتى مات على الإسلام. Stayed away from kufr, guarded against kufr, against falling into disbelief, until he died on Islam. And therefore this in itself is a sign of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, of his prophethood. This is if we take the statement of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to be jumla khabariyya, meaning informative tense, not an invocation text. If we say that it was an invocation, then we also may say that itself stands as a sign on his prophethood. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to the call of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then someone can say the response to the invocation is not particular to the prophets, and therefore someone who is not a prophet may be answered. And therefore in this sense it truly, we cannot take it as a sign for his prophethood, meaning if we consider that the statement about Ukasha is of the invocation tense. And thus, we can deduce that it is a sign on his prophethood if we consider it to be of the informative tense, purely informative. The 10th matter is, or the 20th matter is, فضيلة عكاشة, the merit of عكاشة and his excellence, to be from those who will be admitted to paradise without reckoning and punishment. Now, can we also be witness on this? Yes. Why? Because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was witness to this. The 21 point is using al-ma'arid in the statements or words. And these are alternatives to lying, because the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said سبقك بها عكاشة. عكاشة preceded you in that. What is the ma'arid? What is the meaning of ma'arid? Is to mention someone casually amongst other things, or to give a description open to various possible interpretations. And this is to be used when needed in order to avoid lying. So when the Prophet ﷺ responded to that person who said, O Prophet of Allah, invoke Allah so that I be one of them, one of those admitted to paradise without reckoning, the Prophet ﷺ said, سَبَقَكَ بِهَا عُكَاشَ. عُكَاشَ has already preceded you. In reality, this is not the reason, the real reason is that which we mentioned earlier. Either this person was a hypocrite, and therefore the Prophet ﷺ didn't want him to be from those who will be admitted to paradise without reckoning amongst the 70,000, or for fearing that the door may be opened. And thus, people who don't deserve this rank may ask for it. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ used this statement, which is open to possible or various possibilities of interpretation. The 20th matter is, and the last matter is, حسن خلق النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, the excellent manners of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Because he turned this person down and closed the door in a way which is acceptable and it's not disliked by anyone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, knows best. This brings the end of the discussion on these two hadiths, and this will end part 10 of the coverage on the book Al-Qawl al-Mufid ala Kitab al-Tawheed, the beneficial saying on the book of Tawheed. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow His mercy on the author and on our Shaykh rahimahullah for his explanations, and to make us from those who benefit from it. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.